Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 14, Proverbs 14, 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied or filled from himself. A backslider in heart which shall be filled with his own ways. Let me speak this morning on that subject, backsliding. Let's pray now. Our Father, oh, may the Holy Spirit grip our hearts, talk to us, help us to heed, to hear. And we plead for power, for tenderness, for understanding. We pray for heart searching. We pray, Lord, maybe a day of great restoration. And not only that, but those who know thee not may be saved. For Jesus' sake, amen. That song that Debbie sang, I have a record at home, and on it was an all I call a nationally known singer, soloist. And I believe one of the greatest soloists in the country. He's dead now. But he sang that song, "Back to the World I Will Not Go," but he did. And that song this morning ought to be a prayer of our hearts. You see, we're capable. We're capable of going back on the Lord. All of us without exception. Now, the Bible said the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Very briefly now, who is the backslider? There are folks who used to preach, now deny everything that they believe. Were they a backslider? No, they're an apostate. That's not backsliding. There are folks who are professors who say, well, I used to be saved, but I'm just an old backslider. And many of them never been converted. They have never backslid because they never slid forward. I mean, there's a vast difference. And there are others who genuinely born again, washed in his blood, that died, they'd go to heaven. They're backsliders. They are possessors, but they've gone backward in their Christian life. And in soul winning, it's very necessary when you deal with folks. If you deal with a person who's never been born again and he just tells you he's a backslider, and a person tells me they're a backslider, then I'm going to do some meddling to try to find out if he's a backslider or whether he's just a lost religious person. There's a difference. And if you get a backslider rededicate his life and he's not really been born again, then you didn't do a thing in the world. He doesn't need rededication. He needs regeneration. But a backslider, you can't get him saved again. You get him restored in fellowship, but you can't get him saved again. And generally, there's one way you can tell a backslider from one who claims to be a backslider but never really been born again. And that's the question, are you happy? Are you happy? You say you're a backslider. You happy? Why, sure, preacher. I'm sorry, I don't believe you've ever been born again. See, when you know better and when you tasted better food and had better days and heaven was real and the Bible was alive and Jesus was precious and there wasn't anything more important than all that and thrilled your soul, don't tell me that you can go back to the hog pen and be happy. You don't forget those days. Are you happy? And a person who's a backslider and out of fellowship with the Lord is a person without a country. He's miserable in church and he's miserable in the world. He's just miserable. He's miserable. Now let's look at this text. Started simply, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Consider, first of all, the danger or possibility of backsliding. Now, it's a common problem with the saints because of the fact we have an old nature. Now, if I didn't have an old nature, then there'd be no danger whatsoever of me getting out of fellowship with the Lord. But every believer has two natures. The unsaved has only one nature, but when you're born again, God puts a sweet bud in your heart. And if you're in Florida and you know grafting of trees, you can take a sweet bud and put it into the stalk of an old sour seedling, and it'll put out sour oranges on this limb and sweet oranges on that limb. And a Christian is somebody who's been born again. He has the old nature. The sour stalk is condemned. It's wicked. And all it puts out to works of the flesh. But the other side is a new nature, and it puts out the fruit of the Spirit. Depends on which we cultivate. Depends upon which that we respond to that dominates our life. But all of us, if we're born again, we're inflammable. We're capable of backsliding. We're capable of doing things we never thought we'd do. We're capable of saying things we thought we'd never say. Every last one of us are capable of that, saved or not. Now, all Christians without exception backslide or at one time or other. Now, you say, hold over your horses. Just stay with me. All Christians backslide at one time or other, and all of us ought to sing that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That ought to be a prayer. Now, the danger, consider secondly, the source of backsliding. He said the backslider in heart. Your heart cools off. Now, let me ask you a question. You say, preacher, I don't agree with you. All Christians backslide one time or another. Okay. Has there ever been a time when you're closer to the Lord than you are now? You backslid. That just backslid. That simple? All right. Cold or indifferent toward the Lord. A coldness grips your heart toward the Lord, toward His house, toward His day, toward His people, toward soul winning. You don't have the burden that you used to have for souls. You don't have the zeal that you used to have. Then what happens? Then something's happened. You cool off. That's backsliding. The idea toward separated life and the stand that you used to take and things that you wouldn't do, you do them now. And there are folks who are doing things that they never dreamed they'd do them, and they rejected them earlier in their life, but now it's an accepted standard. Nothing troubles you, nothing bothers you. You settle down to a worldly standard. What have you happened? Oh, are you not cussing, swearing, drinking, running around on somebody, running around with somebody's wife? Are you not doing that? But your heart's not like it used to be. Now, if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 2, I don't think you could tell that this was a backslidden church, but the Lord could. You can preach backslidden, you can sing backslidden, you can operate a bus backsliding, you can have daily devotions at your home and be backslidden as everything. Now, you know just what it is, and every married person knows what it is, not to feel in your heart the passion and the flame for your mate. Everything outwardly is the same, but there's a coolness in the heart. And when you get cold in heart, then what happens? Then you got trouble in the family. And as long as you can keep your heart warm toward each other, you're all right. You'll weather any storm. And as long as you can keep your heart warm toward the Lord, then, brother, you can weather any storm also. It's when my heart grows cold that I'm in trouble. It's not when I leave church. It's not when I quit reading the Bible. It's not when I go off into sin. I'm in trouble the moment that my ardor cools for the Lord. That's when I'm in trouble. Now look at Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and that was the seven churches, and here he's walking and telling, commending the churches for this, that, and the other. And verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, And thy patience, they stayed at it. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil, they were orthodox, I mean they hated sin rather. They were separated. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They examined folks who claimed to be apostles and said, hey, you're a liar. You don't meet what the Bible has to say. And they weren't afraid of hurting people's feelings when it came to the matter of the Word of God. Found them liars. And hast borne, they carried loads. And hast patience, they didn't grow discouraged and quit. For my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. They didn't throw in the towel. I mean, they'd been at it year in and year out. Now, what would you find wrong with that church? You'd look at that assembly and say, praise the Lord, that's a wonderful church. I want to join that church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said simply, you don't love me like you used to love me. That's backsliding. Outwardly, the service was there. Outwardly, everything was in order, and they'd be there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. They'd be on soul winning visitation. They had daily devotions in their home. They opened the Word of God. They lived a separated life. They were orthodox. They were all that. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You didn't lose it. You left it. What's that? That's backsliding. These folks weren't out in sin. You couldn't find anything outwardly wrong with their life. But the Lord knew the heart and the backslider in heart. And where does it begin? It always begins with the citadel of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is thy heart right with God? My son, give me thy heart. It's a heart matter. Backsliding. And sometimes we think everything's hunky-dory because I put my tithes in the offering plate. And I come faithfully to every service and I go soul winning and I read my Bible. Listen, those are things that you ought to do, but they are no substitute for love. And you can do all of them and be backslidden. Okay, and that's look number three, the manifestation of backsliding. How does it manifest itself? Starts in the heart. And now, he says he will be filled with his own ways. Now, the heart grows cold and gradually the self-life comes back. What I think and how I feel and what I want is self, 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 self. When you first get saved, oh, to please thee, oh, to be like thee, go anywhere, give up anything, surrender anything. And oh, how sensitive the conscience was when you first got saved. Oh, to not do one thing in the world that was questionable. You had it, but now what? It's my will and my wants and my. It's filled with self. And a manifestation of a self-life is an individual dead bent on doing what they want to do. And it's just self all over. When you first get saved, it's dead bent. Lord, lead me, guide me, use me, fill me. Use me at any cost, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. I'll give up anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll surrender anything. When you first get saved, that's in the heart. But after a while, the will of God is not as important as it used to be. And doing what I want to do is the most important thing. That's the manifestation of backsliding to please self or please the Lord. Number four, and here's the heart of my message. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, the example of backsliding. And the Bible spends about 80-some-odd verses to deal with a man who became a backslider. His name was Simon Peter. And I want you to know today that we aren't any better than Simon Peter. We aren't any better. And there's steps that led, and one day Simon Peter stood, and he cursed and swore and took an oath that God would kill him. Would God's curse be on him if he weren't telling the truth that he didn't know the Lord? You say, man, a live Christian couldn't do that. This one did. This one did. You say, I never could do that. No, sir, you just think you couldn't. You just play with the flesh, and the flesh takes over, and you can do anything that anybody else can do. All right, the first step toward backsliding, Matthew chapter 16. And I call this ignorance of Bible teaching concerning the Christian life. Before I read it, let me talk about it a little bit. I can't stand the sign by the U.S. Army that said, "Let us join you." That's no army. This is a day that, brother, I'm going to have to say about everything, or I'm not going to join it. And, brother, the army that's going to win something is you join the army. That's the difference. And we got the idea in the church that, man, that living a Christian life don't cost me anything, just makes me feel good, and I'm on the mountaintop. But I have news for you. If you follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Well, wait a minute now. We don't want to suffer. Yes, sir. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, that's a promise, suffer persecution. Now, if we didn't have the Constitution of the United States still in somewhat in force in our country, you and I would know what the rest of the world is experiencing today of real, genuine, and there are folks in America that nail up these doors and listen, haul us off to jail and sell us into slavery if they could. And we think the world's changed. The world hadn't changed. The church changed. Now let's look at it. Matthew 16, verse 21, and Jesus says unto him, Simon, excuse me, I'm reading the wrong place. Matthew 16, verse 21, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." We didn't count on suffering. We're not following somebody who's going to lose his life. We're following a king that'll give the sovereignty back to Israel. We want to reign. We don't want to suffer. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, a stumbling block. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You're talking like men. You don't understand. Look at the next verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." And this is a day when a preacher cracks down on denying yourself. What happens? Legalism, 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 legalism. Let him deny himself and take up his cross, and a cross is an instrument to die on, not to wear around your neck. It never was a symbol to wear in the lapel of your coat or around your neck. It was a symbol of shame, a symbol of disgrace, and we do not want to be disgraced before this world. We're afraid to bear its scorn. We're afraid to look at their looks. We're afraid to appear unrespectable to them. We're scared of that. Whatever. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." He's talking to his people. You lose your life, what happened? You save it. You find out when you stand at judgment, see the Christ, you've invested it and you haven't lost it. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, you'll find it. You keep it now, you lose it hereafter." I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about rewards. And you expend it today, you find out you've kept it. Now, what here is ignorance of Bible teaching concerning the Christian life, and a temptation is to take the easy road to spare yourself. And a person backslides when he gets this philosophy that following the Lord Jesus is doing what I like to do, and if I feel like going to church, I'll go. If I feel like praying, I'll pray. If I feel like giving, I'll give. And if I feel like living a separated life, I'll do it. But only if I enjoy it will I do it. And my friend, following Jesus is not always an enjoyable thing. Not always enjoyable. And when you begin to take the easy road and not deal with yourself, and the Lord said, deny yourself, not self-denial, but deny the whole root of it, and that's the self-life, and take up your cross. Turn to Matthew 10. this suffering and opposition, you're going to find opposition. Sometimes you'll find it in your family. Matthew 10, verse 34, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. And sometime a person gets saved and they go back home and are determined to live for God, but the household doesn't want to live for God, and you think it's strange, brother, that's the way home. Cost you. Cost you. It'll cost you. And there are men and women who want to serve God, but they find opposition at home, and they say, well, God, I'm sorry, and that's all over. And my, you're on the road to backsliding and completely getting away from God. You're to follow the Lord. I'm to follow the Lord. Cost what it may, and it will cost you. You turn on television and Hollywood evangelism, it makes you think that when you follow Jesus, you'll never have any problems, you'll never have any burdens, and you'll never have any financial problems, you'll never have any physical problems, and no problem whatsoever. That's a lie out of hell that's not found in Scripture. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have problems the world doesn't have simply because you're a Christian. And backsliding begins when we're ignorant of the Bible teaching concerning the Christian life. It's a soldier. He likens it as a man, a soldier of God. He likens it to a wrestler, a soldier, man standing at the place of duty. It's hard. It's difficult, but it's rewarding. Now, if you think you're not going to take up your cross and you're not going to let the Word of God cut the things off of you and cut the old flesh life off, then what happens? You're yielding to the flesh, and the flesh will absorb you and command you and take over in your life. And every time you yield to the flesh, then you're farther away from God. And I have to deal with the flesh. And I don't want to deal with the flesh. But if I want to be right with God, I have to, listen, deal with the flesh and deal with the flesh and deal with the flesh. And you'll have to do it every day of your life. Secondly. By the way, when it gets going, people quit bus routes and quit their class and quit their choir and quit church. Somebody says something wrong about them. Well, there's something bad about them. Did you know what the Bible says? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Expect to be mistreated. Expect for to be lied upon. Expect it. That's the way home. And you find a preacher, nobody says anything bad about him. He's not a man of God. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. We don't look for that. We don't covet that. Well, we must understand it. Dr. Tom Malone, dear great preacher of the gospel. I heard him tell, I'm not sure whether the woman was a member of his church or not, but this dear little lady going house to house, door to door, knocking on doors, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. She went up some stairs and the door opened, and she said, I'm such and such church, my name is such and such, and I've come today. And I'd like to ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And the woman knocked her clean down the stairs. The dear little lady got up, brushed herself off, picked up her Bible, and said, praise the Lord. Said, I've been looking for, wondering why it hadn't come already. I've been looking for that for a long time. Thank you, ma'am. Oh, he says, crazy. That's what it says in Acts chapter 5. They were beaten and they left the assembly counting it what? Joy that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me, child of God. If you and I follow the Lord, we are going to suffer. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. It's kind of hard to talk about suffering in America. But we're protected by the Constitution. Secondly, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31. Oh, my. This thing called self-confidence is a terrible thing. Luke 22, verse 31. First of all, the ignorance about the Christian life, and that's the reason you need to be in all the services, to be taught what the Christian life's all about. That's the reason you need to be in Sunday school and preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Bible conferences. That's for your edification. That's for your help. That's to help you grow. Now, Luke 22:31, here's the second one, warning ignored. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And if I came up to you today and I said, dear brother, the devil's after you, most folks would resent that. Hey, you don't know who I am? Now, oh, I could expect if you'd go and see brother so-and-so, the devil's after him, but hey, preacher, read on. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, to turn again, strengthen thy brethren. He said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. He said, I'm prayed up. I'm raring to go. I'll go to jail for you. I'll die for you. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, dear brother, dear sister, when a teacher or a preacher and the Word of God warns you and you will not take warning, you're on the way backsliding now. Because when a person is really right with the Lord, they do not trust themselves and it's, Lord, I'm ignitable. It's possible for me to do anything in the world. And a person, listen, that's right with the Lord, rolls out of his bed on his knees in the morning and says, Lord, here's another day, a privilege, an opportunity, but God, I can't handle it. And God, the temptation, I need you today. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your help. I can't put it over. I need you. Brother, there's safe ground. How many times have you rolled out on your knees in the morning and said, oh, my God, I'm no match for it. Nope. And we pull back the covers and our feet hit the floor and we go about our ways and no morning watch, no time to stand, take the Word of God and search the Word of God, no prayer and no fuel. And we go out to face the world in our own strength without our armor on. And hear me, brother, we're on the way to dishonoring the name of the Lord. Ignoring warning. I've thundered from this pulpit. Thundered and thundered and thundered and see people that I love and I pray for ignore the warning and sleep beneath the warning and think there's no danger, preacher, not me, no danger. And the moment you think that there's no danger, you doing anything like that, you're on slippery ground already. Paul said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Pastor, don't worry about me. I'm all right. Prayed up. Love the Lord just like I always love the Lord. And I've talked to people and I've seen disobedience to the clear teachings of the Word of God all over the place. And the man looked me in the face and said, yes, preacher, I love the Lord as much as I always love the Lord. No, I never loved him any more than I do today. And yet they were on the way out with God according to the Word of God. And they wouldn't take warning. And when you will not take warning, you're on the way. And it's long road of backsliding. Number three, turn to Matthew 26. Boy, David, King David. Boy, wouldn't it have been something when David stayed out of the, he stayed out of the services that day. He stayed away from battle. He had been better if he'd have got killed in battle. He stayed home, he slept in, and he got up late. No prayer, no pleading with God. And brother, temptation knocked him off of his feet, but it didn't start there. There were several things in David's life was contrary to the clear teachings of the Word of God. And that day was a culmination of a long process of disobedience to God. And when he got up that day, unprepared, no armor on, and temptation swept him clean over his feet and dishonored the Lord to this day. Matthew 26, verse 40. Now remember, Peter said, I'm ready. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me before the cock crows. You're going to deny me three times. And here it carries over into the garden, and I read, and the Bible singles out Simon Peter, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And I want to tell you, the devil's after you, brother or sister. The devil's after every last one of us. The devil's after this church. The devil's after this preacher. The devil's after the deacons. The devil's after, listen, the musician. The devil's after the youth. The devil's after you, brother. Listen, recognize it. Take heed to it. Believe it. And Simon Peter said, now, Lord, I'm ready. You don't, the other disciples may deny you, but you don't. This is Simon. Verse 40. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth him asleep and saith unto Peter. Now, he singles out Simon Peter. What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And here's another warning. Watch, pray that you enter not into temptation. And Simon Peter went back to sleep. 42nd verse, he came back and found him asleep again. He heard, and the matter, listen, is you better understand that there is no growth, there is no strength, there is no victory. If you close this Bible and put it over there, my friend, you will always live a defeated Christian life. There is no victory apart from getting in the Word of God. You must find a time in the day, preferably in the morning watch, where you read the Word of God, and you watch, and you pray, lest you enter into temptation. And Simon Peter was warned again, and he didn't think he needed to pray. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Ere you came to the house of God, did you think to pray? Ere you go to your job tomorrow, do you pray? Ere you listen, you take that trip, do you pray? He didn't watch and look for danger. And there was danger all around, and he never saw it until he was swallowed up by it. And he would have seen it if he had prayed, God, help me. Now, our Lord taught us in Luke 11, said, and lead us not into temptation. Now, I want to tell you this. You're just not as strong as you think you are. You're just not as strong as you think you are. Now, I want to tell you, brother, the devil has turned on this preacher from one side to the other. And I'm strong will, I can handle it. But my friend, when you deal with the devil, strong will is not sufficient. And determination is not sufficient. Brother, you have to call for reinforcements. You can't help it, and you can't defend yourself. And if God does not come to your rescue, you'll be knocked off of your feet. You need the Lord every step of the way. I need Him. I can't live without Him. I can't fight without Him. I can't survive without Him. And you think you're so strong. You wait till the devil personally comes after you. You wait till the hour of temptation. Not just ordinary temptation, but you wait when the devil turns his forces loose on you. You're not so strong. He ignored the warning. He didn't have a morning watch. He failed to watch and pray. And by this, did you know? I hear this. I don't have time. We've got more time now than any generations of Christians ever had. Did you know that? U.S. News and World Report, August the 2nd. Who watches TV the most? Older women, ages 55 and over, 36 hours and 33 minutes. Older men, 33 hours and 15 minutes a week. Younger women, ages 18 to 55, 31 hours and 49 minutes. Younger men, 28 hours and 3 minutes. Teenagers, 22 hours and 59 minutes. Children, ages 2 to 11, 25 hours and 10 minutes. There's no way a Sunday morning service can compete with that. You bring the boys and girls to a Sunday school class, and they've had 20-some hours of television, and immediately the teacher's in competition with all of the latest in technology and presentation. And a Sunday school class is a very dry and dull thing. And listen, parents, you are asking the impossible for any spiritual impact upon your children if you let them sit hour after hour after hour before the television. You lose your children. and adults. There's very little I can do for you with an hour of Sunday school when you've got 25 or 30 hours of the world. I mean, that you programmed in your home and you sat in front of it and said, feed me, feed me, feed me. And everything on that tube is contrary to what I'm saying here. Now, you're in a war. And when you turn that thing on and the world comes and feeds that old nature and feeds that old nature and feeds that old nature, and when you allow it to feed the old nature, you don't want to pray, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to go soul winning, you don't want to give up anything, you want to be stylish, you want to be in step with the world, you want to be expect to be respectable, you want to live like the world, you better shut it off, shut it off, shut it off. I don't have time. Everybody's got time. There's nobody that doesn't have time to serve the Lord. Is that right? If you don't have time to serve the Lord, then you've got yourself in something God never ordained. God never gives you anything that'll make you jeopardize your spiritual life. What is it? What did he do? Ignorance about the Christian life, and he was opposed to the suffering. We don't want that. What did he do? He couldn't be warned. What did he do? He didn't have a morning watch, no prayer watch, no eyes open for temptation. Number four, Matthew 26:58. He followed afar off. There came a distance between him and the Lord. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. I fall afar off, so how close you used to sing. And when we got saved, we sang, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. And the heart pan of the new nature was, Lord, closer, closer, nearer, nearer, nearer. But now we followed afar off, and gone is that passion to be close to the Lord. Gone is that longing to walk in sweet fellowship with Him. And there's a distance, and when that distance takes place, we become lukewarm and indifferent, and we begin to do things and say things we ought not to. God goes back and, hey, well, he says, well, I'll pick up a can of beer. Didn't do that. You gave it up when you got saved. Man goes back and picks up his cigarettes. Man goes back and picks up the old crowd. Man goes back and picks up the old language. He begins to fall off from the Lord. That's all just a process in this matter of backsliding. Carelessness about the house of God. Carelessness about prayer. Carelessness about soul winning. Carelessness about the preaching. Carelessness. Preacher went to a man who hadn't been in church in a long time. It was winter time, in the days when they had fireplaces. As he talked to the brother, told him and warned him and tried to warn him about what would happen if you stay out of church. And if you stay out of church, you're heading for trouble. He didn't get anywhere with the man, and as he sat and talked, he took some tongs and he reached right down in the middle of the fire and pulled out a red hot coal. Took it out of, man, it was in a bed of other red hot coals. Took it out, put it on the hearth and didn't say anything, just went on talking. They talked for a considerable length of time. Then the pastor reached over and took that coal. Now he could put his hands on it. Picked it up. Didn't say a thing. Picked it up. Here it was. It was red hot. Picked it up. And then took and put it right back in the bed of coals. And then the blackness began to turn to orange and then the blue and a real warmth and heat. And the man said, I get the message. There's no way for you to stay hot and warm for God alone. And you stay out of the assembly, and your heart will grow so cold, and you need the assembly, you need us, and we need you for warmth. And when I fall afar off, I come Sunday morning, maybe. I come Sunday night, maybe. My friend, if you want to get right, then listen, nail some things down and don't let anything in the world. Nail down God's services and don't allow company, don't allow weather, don't allow a headache, don't allow anything to interfere with it. That's the way you handle that. Number five. Look at Matthew 26, the latter part. Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Luke says he sat around the campfire and hands he was cold. And here he is. What's he doing? He's association with the old crowd. He sat down among them. Now, isn't it interesting that dad will tell his son, now, son, don't you run with those boys that cuss and don't you run with those boys that, you know, that lie and cheat and steal. Don't you associate with them because they'll get you in trouble. Okay, dad, if it's good for son, it's good for you. Good for you. It's good for you. Now, what happens? When you begin to cool off, here's it. 1 John 2:15 said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now watch. If my heart's warm toward God, this world is of little significance. Now, if my heart cools off toward the world, then this world is utmost significant, and I'm cold toward God. If I'm warm toward God, I'm cold toward the world. If I turn my back away from the source of light and spiritual heat, then, brother, I become cold toward spiritual things and hot toward the world. It just depends on which way you're facing. And when you get your eyes off Jesus, that old nature still loves the crowd that you ran with. That old nature still likes the things that you used to do. It's a new nature that gave you the desire stronger than the old nature that you serve God. But when you follow a follow, those holy desires subside. And then those old carnal desires begin to be predominant. And what happens? You follow what you desire to do. Oh, God. Or you say, well, I'm just going to go with them to witness to them. You don't need to spend all day with them to witness to them. You don't need to go hunting and fishing and golfing with them to witness to them. In that sense, you don't have to spend all day long. What happens? You see, the devil makes us think that I'll change them. Did you ever hear anybody who was healthy walking into a room where there were diseased people and his health made them have health? No. The healthy person is in danger from the disease. And there's only one person who was in the world but not of the world, and that's the Son of God. The world didn't affect him, but you and I have a fallen nature, and we better be avoid those things while we're inflammable, we're easily contaminated. And when you have a desire to run and to play with that crowd, I've got news for you. It won't be long till you're cursing. It won't be long till you're silent about the Lord. And by the way, if the world runs with you, you're already out. If the world, you say, well, I'm going to go with them. If they're comfortable with you, something's happened to you already. I got saved, I lost my buddies, and I've still lost them. They're lost to this day. Pam, nobody calls me up and say, well, you want to do so and so. What's backsliding? He started running with the old crowd. Listen, when you're thrown with the old crowd to work with them, yes, sir, and you may work with them all day long, and you ought to be a witness and a light, but you don't partake of what they're doing. But when you have an opportunity to choose who you run with, you're always supposed to choose Christians. And by that, you not only choose just Christians, but you ought to choose those who are close to the Lord to run with. The old crowd. With the old crowd comes the old language. Hadn't cussed in months, and all of a sudden you cussed the first time. You hadn't popped a can of beer in years, but all of a sudden, just one can won't hurt me, and you pop one, and that might be the last one you pop. I'll just take in this movie one time. What is it? Brother, you're not going to. You already have. You just haven't hit bottom yet. Okay, let's move on. He was silent while Jesus was on trial. in the 58th verse and through the rest of the chapter, boy, they were accusing the Lord. They smote on him. They smote him. They spat on his, spat on him. They crowned him, and Jesus sat silent. Now watch. When you run with a crowd, they can curse and take God's name in vain, but you don't say anything anymore. Jesus has been on trial today. And when a man backslides, he's silent for fear of persecution, and somebody called him preacher, somebody called him deacon. And he gets out in the world and he's absolutely silent. His lips are silent. And Simon Peter sat there while false accusers came, and Simon Peter said, not only silent, but he said, I don't know him. Why did he do that? Fear? Fear what? We talk about young people and peer pressure. Did you know adults are just as bad as teenagers about peer pressure? They're adults that can't take a stand against style. They're adults that can't take a stand against anything for fear of what somebody else will do or say. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Are you afraid of another man or woman, what they'll say? So he sat with the crowd, and when he did, he became silent. Number 7, let's look at his terrible fall. Simon Peter didn't know he was capable. And some of us don't know the capabilities that we could do. Matthew 26, let's look at it now, verse 69. Look how it just slowly comes up. The devil weaves a net closer and pulls it tighter and tighter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Hey, you're a Christian. No, I'm not. And he was going out, and so he ran from that place. And when he was going out into the porch, he said, I better move away from here. Another maid saw him and said to him, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. He said, now I swear, I do not know the man. You mean this is a Christian? Yes. One of God's choice servant? Yes. Verse 73. After a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them. For thy speech betrayeth thee. How you talk like a Christian. Oh, that's right. If I talk like a Christian, I'll convince you that I'm not. Then he began to curse and to swear. That'll convince him. That'll convince him. They gonna call me, you know, these holy names, and I want their approval more than I want God's approval. And so, yeah, I'll curse you. I'll prove to you that I'm not a Christian. And he began to curse and to swear and saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Mark, he crowed twice. One was a warning when he denied the first time. God said, the cock shall not crow twice till thou hast denied me thrice. And Mark reads it when he denied him the first time. The old rooster went off out there, and he should have remembered, but he didn't remember. And he turned and denied the Lord a second time, and then the third time, and the cock crew, the rooster crew, he's a rooster too. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now I want to ask you a simple question. Are you better than Simon Peter? Oh, preacher, I'd never cuss and I'd never swear. Oh, you wouldn't, huh? Just how do you know that you wouldn't? You better accept God's description about the flesh. Now, you're capable of doing anything any other Christian's ever done. Now let's move quickly two or three other main things. Consider number five. And to save time, let me read Jeremiah 2, the bitterness of the backslider. And I read in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19 these words. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. What a rebuke when Simon Peter, he didn't realize it moved so slowly down, and all of a sudden he's at the bottom, and all of a sudden he's shocked at what he did. Thine own what? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. He said it, what? The bitterness of the backslider. In Luke chapter, turn to Luke chapter 22 there. Let's look at it quickly. Luke 22. Verse 61. When he denied his Lord, cursed and swore, the scripture says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The devil tells a backslider, man, I'm tired of rules and regulations, tired of church and tired of Bible, and all I hear is church, 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 church. I have news for you. If you're genuinely born again, that's a lie of the devil. And when you hit bottom, all of that will come rushing back unto you to haunt you and penalize you. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Now here's where you can tell the truth from the false. You say, when did Simon Peter get the whipping? He got it there. The prodigal son, when did he get the whipping? When he came home? No, he got the whipping in the hog pen. Judas Iscariot came to the Lord, and everybody saw him throw his arms around Jesus and call him friend, comrade, and kissed him. Well, you see, that's real. No, that's a phony. And others heard Simon Peter curse and swear and said, I don't know him. You say, that's the hypocrite. No, you got mixed up. That's the real. This is the phony. And when a man does that that claims to be a Christian, watch the difference now. Judas Iscariot went out in remorse at where he found himself and hung himself. That's the sorrow of the world worketh death. What does Simon Peter do? He goes out and he weeps bitterly. And you see a Christian who backslides, you may see what he does, but brother, when he gets to the bottom, you don't hear the sobs and the cries unto God of his misery. Now let's move quickly. In the last point, number six, the restoration of the backslider. Well, how does he get back? Well, I'll tell you, it's difficult. Jesus said in Luke 22, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. First of all, he gets back because of the prayers of the Son of God. He prays for them. He intercedes for them. Number two, he ministered to them. Simon Peter, here's the Lord Jesus on trial. Simon curses and swears. And the Lord just simply turned and looked at Simon, not a look of accusation, not a look of bitterness or resentment, but a look of tenderness and love. He still loved Simon. He knew all about him when he saved him. He knew he'd swear and disown him when he saved him. He said, thou art Peter, thou shalt be. This is what you are. This is what you'll be when I get through. He warned him about Satan was after him, and he said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith may fail not. And when thou art converted, he knew Simon Peter wouldn't listen to him, and he said, when you've turned around, strengthen your brethren. Now, how did he restore him? Well, he restored him. First of all, the look broke his heart. And then Simon Peter went out in the dark in 3 days and three nights. Simon Peter was in misery and travail of soul. In the morning of the resurrection, the angel said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Don't leave Peter out. He doesn't think he's the disciple anymore. You go tell my disciples and Peter that I'll meet them in Galilee. Don't forget Peter. Luke 24, when they were in the upper room, the Emmaus disciples, and the Lord talked to them, and they ran back to the city. And when they walked in the door, those inside said, the Lord hath risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. God's Son had a private interview with the Lord Jesus Christ had a private interview with Simon Peter. Now turn to John 21. John 21. They went fishing. Peter figured, well, I'm not fit to be a preacher. I'm not fit to be a disciple. He's still not convinced. So he goes a fishing, and when he does, he takes some others. Listen, when you go astray, you take somebody with you. Nobody goes with themselves. They went fishing and didn't catch anything. Boy, he was an expert fisherman. Hear me, brother, things won't go right when you get out of fellowship with God. And to save time, they were fishing, and Jesus cried and said, have you any meat? And they said, no. And said, cast the net on the other side. They did, and the boat and the thing was filled, 153 fishes. And John said, it's the Lord. And Simon Peter jumped out and swam to the shore. Man, he, oh my, it's the Lord. Oh my, he wanted to be back to the Lord again. Then breakfast was served, the coals of fire and the fishes. And boy, they had beautiful breakfast there by the Sea of Galilee. Now look at here beside a fire, Simon Peter denied his Lord. And here's the fire, verse 15. Three times he denied his Lord. So when they dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, you sorry rascal, you ought not know. He didn't ask him any of that. He just asked him a question. Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I hear possibly these disciples. Simon, you stood one day and you said the rest may deny and reject you, but I'll die and I'll go to prison. And he's probing Simon Peter's heart. You love me more than these, Simon? Or maybe he's talking about the nets and fishes. I don't know, but Simon, do you love me more than these? And Simon said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs, get busy in my work. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep, get busy with the flock. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? How many times did you deny the Lord, Simon? I give you three times an opportunity to confess your love. Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. How to restore him? He restored him by trust. Why, you said you didn't know me, cursed and swore. And now I'm going to, listen, I'll restore you. You take care of my lambs. They're dear to my heart. I'll go to the cross and die for them. You love me. I give you a place of trust. And you get busy in my service. This I'm through. Backsliding heart, we try to get our feeling back for the Lord. You wasting time. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, when he said, now, you left your first love. He didn't say go back and get your first love. He said go back and get your first works. And we sit down and want to get our first love and try to get that feeling, that one closeness. No, that's not how you get it. You go back and do the things that you used to do. Do what you did when you first got saved. And folks sit in the pew and said, I want to get back to the Lord, and you're trying to have this feeling before you do anything. Get back to your first works. Your first works, you didn't miss a service in the house of God. Your first works, you couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Your first work was separation from the world. First works was sensitivity of conscience. First works was love of the brethren. First works, desire to pray. Get back to your first works. Forget your feelings. Get back to your first works. David prayed, Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. God loves a backslider. The Son of God loves him as much as ever. And the day that he turns and looks and he questions, one thing, do you love me? Not do you promise to never fail again? Do you love me? Not you promise, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, okay, get busy in my service. Feed my flock. Take care of my own. They need help. Need teachers. Need workers. And there are folks listening with talent running out your ear, sitting in the pew. You love the Lord, then get busy with the flock. have hid about every close.